Happy flights are the best. No better way to start your weekend with a brand new Locked On Brewers. Don't go anywhere.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Happy Friday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to your Milwaukee Brewers. Thanks for making us your first listen of the day. I'm Dominic Catronio. I'm the statistician for Valley Sports Wisconsin, bringing you everything you need to know about these Brewers. They claim the sweep. It looked bleak for a second there. They claim the sweep over the Pirates, a 3-2 thriller at PNC Park on Thursday, and they return home tonight to take on those dreaded Cubbies. So we're going to preview that series at the very, very end, but we got a lot to talk about from yesterday. Willy Adames was the headline on Tuesday. Wednesday, the headline was Aaron Ashby and the pitching staff. And Thursday, the headline is Andrew McCutchen. Sleeping in his own bed turns out to pay off dividends as he gets all three runs batted in the Brewers' 3-2 thrilling win over the Pirates to claim the sweep. They have won all six games head-to-head against the Pirates. So we're going to talk about this game. We're going to talk about Andrew McCutchen's impact so far this season. We're going to look at a lot of the numbers as far as what's going on with batted balls so far this season. I think we got a great guest lined up for you next week talking more about this stuff. We're going to just kind of break it down what we saw in Wednesday's game and what we saw in Thursday's game too, as far as hard hit balls not having, you know, the production that you'd expect out of them. And then we'll just very briefly touch on what the Cubs have going on here since we've last seen them. So if you haven't already, by the way, go ahead and hit that subscribe button if this is your first time listening to the podcast. If you just found us, thanks for coming along. Hit that subscribe button wherever you get your podcast, and you can subscribe to our YouTube page. All the video forms of these episodes are posted there as well, and more breakdowns to come within the hopper as well. So Andrew McCutchen, man, what a day for him, and it couldn't have started any better, quite literally. Very first pitch of the game yesterday goes yard. His 19th career leadoff homer. It's the third time he's hit the very first pitch of a game out for a home run. And he does it in his old ballpark. He told Sophia Minert after the game yesterday on the field saying, hey, maybe I got to ship the bed from Pittsburgh, because that's where his family still lives, over to Milwaukee, because he was sleeping good this week. He had a solid series. He goes 3-for-4 in Thursday's win. McCutchen just setting off the spark right off the bat, 1-0 against Jose Quintana. Man, I mean, you're sitting here thinking, okay, it's going to be one of those days. The offense is back after all the hard hit balls on Wednesday. That was just a fluke. McCutchen gets a leadoff bomb. Things are looking great, right? Nope. Jose Quintana, man, if you're going to give up a leadoff home run and then strike out the side, I think pitchers say, okay, yeah, I mean, it could be worse, I guess. Going, so first pitch home run, and then he strikes out in the side on the next 16 pitches. Then he strikes out the first batter of the second inning, and he ends up striking out Colton Wong to end the second inning. What a day for Jose Quintana. He figured out the Brewers. Granted, he looks like a completely different pitcher since the last time the Brewers have seen him when he was a Cub. But Quintana, 5 innings, 4 hits, 1 run it was earned, no walks, 9 strikeouts. He came into the game with only 8 strikeouts on the entire season. And his changeup was his best pitch. He was really nasty with it. Even Craig Counsell gave kudos to him after the game, too. But that leadoff homer from Andrew McCutchen was all the offense could get. In fact, nobody even touched second base against Quintana. And then, puzzling, might have been a pitch count situation, but they pulled Quintana after 5 innings and only 78 pitches. So, thanks for that, but it still wasn't much better for a while for the Brewers. On the starting side of things, as we continue the game recap here, Freddy Peralta, he got off to a much better start as opposed to his last couple of games. I mean, getting out of the first inning is key for Freddy. Here in the bottom of the first inning yesterday, he strikes out 2 of the 3 batters, including Vogelbach, including Reynolds. Peralta did his job. Another quality start, and furthermore, this is the most important stat from Freddy's start today. He gets a quality start with 0 walks allowed. Okay, that's only the 5th time he's done that in his career. So, great job by Freddie. Unfortunately, and this is a sad stat, he gets a no decision in this and is already now the 4th quality start this season in just 20 games. So 1/5 of your games have been a quality start, And those quality starts have been no decisions. So four, not all the quality starts, but I'm saying four of the Brewers' quality starts have been no decisions, which is the most in the big leagues. And it goes back to the offense issue, because when Freddie exited the game in the sixth inning, we were all asking, okay, which bullpen is hot today? Josh Hader has thrown for four of the last 5 days. He's not going to be available in yesterday's game. So do you go with Boxberger? We saw Yandel Gustave warming up in the sixth inning. By the way, that sixth inning, that slider he threw, nine-pitch AB against Ke'Bryan Hayes. Ke'Bryan Hayes is going to be a great, great player. He's going to be a thorn in the Brewers' side for a long time. And Freddie won this battle, but he's not going anywhere. Just signed that eight-year extension. Got him to fly out on a slider away. Freddie wins that battle, gets out of it, six unscathed innings, no walks, seven strikeouts for Peralta, easily his best start of the year. But then they go to Boxberger for the seventh, and you're thinking, okay, let's go with Boxberger. It makes sense. He's been one of the most reliable guys the last couple of seasons for the Brewers. He just pitched great yesterday. Going back-to-back hasn't really been his thing. In fact, it was only the second time this season he's gone back-to-back, and the first time in 2 weeks. He went back-to-back against Baltimore out of necessity, trying to come in and clean up Devin Williams' mess. So Boxberger comes in back-to-back today, and he only faced three batters. He allowed three hits, two runs, only gets one out, or rather faced four batters and gets one out and gets three hits allowed. So wasn't Boxberger's day. I mean, instantly you could tell the fastball is flat. The changeup wasn't moving. It was not his day going back-to-back. So the Pirates actually took the lead in the top of the seventh inning in this one. Brent Suter came in to clean things up. Of course, two pop-outs. Classic Brent Suter, making you feel uncomfortable as far as leaving guys on base. He left a guy stranded on base, too. There was a sac fly in this inning as well. But it's 2-1. The offense has been absolutely anemic, and you're thinking, well, now what? Heath Embry comes in and exits after just facing one batter in the sixth inning. And then David Bednar, who's normally the closer, came in for the eighth inning and ended up easy 1-2-3 inning. You're like, okay, well, David Bednar has never thrown a multi-inning save in his career. And there's a reason for that, because they went with Chris Stratton for the ninth inning. And that was a change I don't think any of us expected. And all of a sudden, the Brewers woke up. They got themselves off the deck out of nowhere. So here's how the ninth inning rally began. Ninth inning rally starts things off. Kane flies out to left field. Hit the ball hard, though. Yelich comes in to pinch hit for Mike Brasso. Yelich had the day off. And on the first pitch he sees, he drops down a bunt. And it wasn't even that great of a bunt. It was good enough. It was toward the third base half, but the pitcher still fielded it. You wanted that ball to get past the pitcher so nobody would even have a chance to get you out because of the shift. But because Yelly can fly, and because he caught the defense so off guard with that bunt, he ends up beating it out to start the rally with the infield hit. Yelich, base running wise, was a 3-9-3 time, a sub-4 home to first time on that bunt. That is his fastest home the first time this season, and the fastest home the first time for any Brewer this season. We know he can fly, and he proved it again there. Absolute bolt up the first baseline to get the rally going, which means the go-ahead run comes to the plate, and the rally continues. Next batter was Colton Wong, facing Chris Stratton, a guy he has never got a hit off of in his career. 0-for-7 against Stratton in his career. And then Wong manages a great AB, singles into right field. Yelich had to jump out of the way to make sure he wasn't hit by the ball, so it's runners at first and second with one out. Ground ball in this game is over, okay? Alex Jackson, who, by the way, performed admirably behind the plate, making his first start as a Brewer. If you don't recall, Victor Caratini is still out with COVID, and Alex Jackson was acquired on opening day from the Marlins organization. It was a minor league deal to give depth for the Brewers, given you just traded Brett Sullivan over to the Padres in order to receive Victor Caratini onto this team. So the point was to have minor league depth for a situation like this. Caratini's out with COVID. Jackson makes his first start as a Brewer. He did his job today, got a knock as well. So Narvaez comes off the bench to get a swing in, and he singles on a line drive into left, but it was hung in the air just long enough that Yelich had to read it and has to stop at third. So moment of the day, bases loaded, one out. You are, again, one pitch away from ending this game on a ground ball. McCutchen is 2-for-3 at this point in the game. He's having a great day. He's sleeping in his own bed. He's happy, right? Second pitch of the AB hits a line drive the other way, and a leaping attempt at second base just literally comes up inches short over at second base on the great attempt by Josh Van Meter. I mean, I think it hit his glove. It just tipped off the very edge of it. And instead of it being a game-ending double play because Colton Wong had a bad read getting his secondary lead, as soon as he saw that line drive, he actually took a couple steps, then fell down. He saw in the replays on Bally Sports Wisconsin, he would have been a sitting duck at second base, double play, game over. Instead, it's just over Van Meter, into right center field. Wong gets right back up and sprints home, and even that deflection helped the ball die in shallow right center field, which allowed Colton to score and give the Brewers the 3-2 lead they needed. So McCutchen gets all three runs batted in. He goes 3-for-4. It's his first three-hit game this season as a Brewer. He had 4 3-hit games last season. Gets all three runs batted in. What a day for Kutch. So who has the ninth? You have the lead all of a sudden. Devin Williams gets the ninth inning yesterday after he pitched a great one on Wednesday. Decided to hand him the ball, and part of the reason this was a good call, Ben Gamel, of the three guys due up, was the only one that had seen Devin Williams previously. Ben Gamel gets caught looking on a fastball up and in, a perfectly dotted fastball up and inside. It would have shattered the bat if Gamel swung at it. On the ninth pitch of the at-bat, that's when he knew. When Devin didn't give in on that AB, stuck with the fastball, dared Gamel to hit his fastball, and he couldn't, was looking up for a walk, caught him handcuffed, one out. The next two guys had never seen Devin Williams before, Michael Chavis and Jack Sawinski. Already advantaged Devin Williams. If you've never seen the airbender, you're in trouble. He threw 16 pitches, 13 of them were strikes. He gets back-to-back swinging strikeouts to end the game against Chavis and against Sawinski. Gets Chavis on a fastball at 94, and he gets Sawinski on three straight changeups. Brewers win. Happy flight. They are 13-7 and in first place in the Central. What a game. What a game. Let's dive into the numbers in just a second. Before we do that, of course, Built Bar is one of our main sponsors here on the Locked On Network. Summer is coming, and you're going to need some food on the go. Built Bars are the perfect snack to take with you on family vacations. You can throw them in your bag. You can throw them in your kids' backpacks. You can make sure that everybody has a bar so that you are refueled for your summer adventures. The best part about Built Bars is that they're healthy and they're delicious. You don't got to sacrifice something delicious and something healthy. It's everything you could want. All the Built Bars and all the puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate, and that means that Built Bar, you can actually heat healthy and enjoy eating healthy. You've got banana cream pie, you've got churro, you've got amazing, crazy flavors with the puffs. The macros are insane. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. You can see their entire lineup at built.com. Again, that's built, B-Y-L-T.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. And you're going to get 15% off your order. Again, the promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com for 15% off. We're also brought to you by BlueNile.com. At Blue Nile, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring or even gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you will not find at a traditional jeweler. Look, it's everyday fine jewelry. And if you're like me, I don't know much about it. And with Mother's Day a little over a week away, guys, next Sunday, just remember, Blue Nile can be your spot to help you out. If she prefers a statement piece for something every day, or maybe she wants something like diamond earrings or tennis bracelets or gemstone pendant necklace, you can go to Blue Nile, Nile like the river, BlueNile.com, to have all the fine jewelry options for your mom or any other woman in your life. This Mother's Day, you can give mom something she'll treasure forever with Blue Nile. You can use our promo code. It's just Locked On. So Locked On Brewers listeners can get $50 off $500 or more. This is a podcast exclusive offer. Again, the promo code is Locked On and only works until Mother's Day. Every order is insured, it ships for free, and it arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. You can shop stress-free and find your forever peace at BlueNile.com. Numbers, offense. We can sit here and just continue to hammer home the offense and try to see what's going wrong. We can also praise Andrew McCutchen. Let's just talk about comebacks, though, first and foremost. So the Brewers, that's now 45 come-from-behind wins over the last 2 years. That is the second most in the National League. 40 last year, and that's their fifth so far this season. pretty darn good. They're never really out of it, no matter how cold the offense looks. The magic number is still 4. Granted, they won yesterday with a 3-run tally, but the magic number is still 4 runs scored for the offense. When they score 4 or more runs, the Brewers are 10-1. Just get 4 runs. It's all you need. When they score 3 or fewer, they are 3-6. Granted, those 3 wins when scoring 3 or fewer is the second most in baseball, but you don't want to win games like that. And I tweeted this too, that these are games, this is a game that wasn't lost because the bullpen blew a 1-0 lead. It was lost because, yet again, the bullpen was asked to be perfect against big league hitters. The offense is continuing to be ice cold. And the next segment, we're going to talk about the batted balls. We're going to talk about what's going on around baseball. But the fact that it was another 1-0 game for so long in this contest, I think back to Sunday Night Baseball. I think back to Corbin Burns' start on Monday against the Giants. That game was 1-0 forever. Even yesterday, they only had 3 runs, and the 3rd run was gifted to them with some bad control in the top of the 9th inning for some insurance. But the offense is ice cold still. I know it was cold yesterday. Craig Counsell's admitted to it too, saying, look, it's pretty tough to see what we're going through right now. We're taking good swings, just not getting anything out of them. He's saying the company lines, I get it, because you're only 17, or rather 20 games in. It's alarming right now. I'm just not going to lie. It is alarming to see what this offense is doing right now. It is clear as day. There is still an addition needed to this team. Right now, the team average is 209. The team OPS is 614. And if you take Andrew McCutchen out of the equation, so Andrew McCutchen on his own, he's the team's best hitter right now. He's hitting 250. He's only got a 309 on base. He's only got a 656 OPS, okay? And he's the best hitter on the team right now. He got his first homer as a Brewer. He's got 9 runs batted in. He's got 4 doubles. Even with that line, a 250 average, a 656 OPS, if you take him out of this lineup, the team average drops by 5 points to 204, and the team OPS drops by 5 points as well to 609. He's carrying the team. Him and Willy Adames are carrying this team as we speak right now. It needs to change. Granted, Rowdy's got 3 homers. He's got a 695 OPS. I get that. He hit some balls hard this weekend, too. That's going to come up in the next segment. This lineup is supposed to be deeper than what it is. And we saw them explode on Tuesday. But look, 1 run on Sunday. You only got 2 runs on Monday. They explode on Tuesday. Wednesday, they only get 3 runs, and one of them was gifted. And then Thursday, they only get 3 runs. Something's got to click. Something has got to click, and maybe returning home gets them going again moving forward. Other notes in this one, the Brewers are now 40-14 against the Pirates since the start of 2019. They've played each other 54 times, and the Brewers have won 40 of those games, including all 6 this season. Absolutely insane what they've got going on against the Pirates, the good mojo they've got. It's the games you're supposed to win, right? And it's still so hard to sweep in Major League Baseball. And they've swept the Pirates twice. And when the Pirates took the lead in the 7th inning, by the way, that was the first time they've held a lead against the Brewers all year. In all 6 games, the Pirates have held a lead for a collective 1 total inning against the Brewers. It could be a long year for Brewers and Pirates head-to-head. We know the Pirates are going to have a long year, but head-to-head, it's going to be crazy. And think about this. You're 6-0 already against the Pirates. And they're technically not even the worst team in the division this year. The Reds have only won 3 games. And you haven't even seen the Reds yet. Keep that in mind. Vinny is still in the belief that this team can win 100 games. And we continue to disagree about that. Just because I think the National League is too deep for it to win 100 games. He still thinks because you got the Pirates and because you got the Reds in your division, this team can win 100 games. I would like to be proven wrong on that. And I will give Vinny all the kudos in the world on it. But if he's right, that'd be sweet. 100-win season, who would say no to that? But with runners in scoring position, this is the main point I want to get at here as far as the biggest concern with the offense. It's not that they're performing poorly with runners in scoring position. It's really the opposite. It's really the fact that they're not getting themselves with runners in scoring position enough. As it stands right now, the Brewers are hitting .262 with runners in scoring position this season. Okay, .262 is tied for 9th best in all of baseball. So they're in the top 3rd of baseball and hitting with runners in scoring position. However, they have the fourth fewest at-bats with runners in scoring position, only ahead of the White Sox, the Reds, and the A's. So they're not giving themselves enough opportunities to have run-scoring chances. But when they are getting these chances, they've been cashing in better than two-thirds of the league. So that's going to have to change moving forward. And we talked about expected batting averages and things of that nature as far as Brewers continuing to hit the ball hard, and this will lead us into our batted ball segment here. Hitting the ball hard and expecting batting average is really all you can control, right? All you control is hitting the ball hard, okay? But if you're hitting the ball hard and getting nothing out of it, that's alarming. League average right now for expected batting average is .251. Coming into action on Thursday, the Brewers' expected batting average was .248, despite them hitting .207 as a team. That's an indicator of bad luck. Also, their expected slugging is .439, which is better than league average at .432. So they're hitting the ball hard. They're just not getting anything out of it. They're right in the middle of the pack as far as what's expecting with how hard they're hitting it. And that leads us into what is going wrong with the baseball. Before we do that, I'll tell you about our friends at betonline.net. They are your number one source for all your sports betting stats and information. You can find all the latest developments, league reviews, news, including this year's basketball playoffs. The schedule is now out for the Bucks taking on the Celtics. Of course, games 1 and 2 will be at TD Garden before coming back here for games 3 and 4 against the Celtics. That'll be an epic, epic series. You can check out everything you need to know about that series at betonline.net, your number one source for sports wagering info, live betting, playoffs, esports, and more. Head to their website today, betonline.net, where the game starts. So I made this thread right before yesterday's game. We talked about Willy Adames hitting the ball hard the other day and getting nothing out of it. So Willy hit the ball on Wednesday, 105.9 miles an hour, effectively 106, and a 23-degree launch angle. That's just 3 degrees shy of it technically being a barrel. There were five, so let's rewind to 2021, okay? When you put those parameters in, 105 mile an hour exit velocity and a 23-degree launch angle, in 2021, last season, there were 233 balls put in play with those exact parameters, 105 exit velo and a 23-degree launch angle. There were only 5 outs recorded on those 233 balls in play. So 228 of the 233 were hits. Obviously, the vast majority of them are home runs. Whereas this season, in 2022, there have been 25 balls in play with the exact same parameters as Willie on Wednesday. 105 miles an hour at least for the exit velocity, and exactly a 23-degree launch angle. 3 of the 25 have already been outs. That is alarming. So, again, 5 in an entire season in 2021, and now 3 already in just 25 balls in play in 2022. We've talked about the humidors briefly. If you weren't aware, there is now a uniform humidor system in place for Major League Baseball, and every team is using it to level the playing field as far as what the playing conditions are supposed to be, but it is not performing like that. I recommend you read Eno Saris' article talking about the increased drag on the baseball, dew points impact on the humidor, and what the actual atmospheric conditions are for actual live baseball, and that so far, home runs are down, and even barrels distance are down. Like, you can say, oh, well, he hit the ball the deepest part of the ballpark. It's not so much about that. It's about the fact that, on average, when you barrel a ball up, you know, a 26 to 30 degree launch angle and at least 98 miles an hour or more off the bat, when you hit a barrel, it is flying, on average, 9 feet shorter than it did in 2021. So there has been an overcorrection made here as far as guys not getting rewarded for absolutely barreling baseballs. That story is in The Athletic. I really encourage you reading it. We are in the process of maybe getting Eno on the show here next week. So that would be a whole lot of fun to get Eno on and pick his brain about what he's learned. If you haven't read his stuff previously at FanGraphs or over at The Athletic now, he's one of the coolest guys to read because he just makes it so digestible. He's obsessed with pitch grips too. Really, really fun stuff. So let's move on to the Cubs, okay? The Cubs are coming to town. They're currently playing as we speak, actually. The Cubs, or they played last night. I recorded this as soon as the game ended, by the way, so you will already know the result of the Cubs and the Braves. By the way, Ronald Acuna Jr. returning in yesterday's game for the Braves. But they're going to come in under 500, either 9-10 or 8-11. What are the Cubs doing well right now? Well, as play began yesterday, the Cubs as a team actually have the best team batting average in baseball. They're hitting .267. They have the same amount of home runs as the Brewers at 15 heading into play yesterday. Their on base isn't really that stellar, only .304. Granted, the Brewers are only at .282. The Cubs pitching staff has been hot again and cold again on separate stints. As a team, they have a 3.92 ERA. It's not like one is exceptionally better than the other. The Cubs team ERA is actually right in the middle of the pack for the National League. It's slightly worse than the Brewers, who are at 3.27. So they're still going to pitch you good games. And furthermore, these three games against the Cubs, you've got the top of their rotation. Kyle Hendricks, Justin Steele, Marcus Stroman, exactly as we saw opening weekend against these guys. So the Brewers are going to have to make the adjustment and learned what they saw against Hendricks the first time. His changeup was really nasty on opening day. They had no answer for that. But today, the Brewers will be throwing Adrian Hauser in response. Saturday, as expected, it'll be Eric Lauer. So a pair of lefties dueling on Saturday. And then on Sunday, it's an ace off, Marcus Stroman against Corbin Burns. Stroman's off to a cold start. He had the no decision on opening on his first start. But since then, he's 0-3 with a 6.98 ERA this season. He's walked a handful of guys. He's walked six guys so far this season. But shockingly, the home runs bit him. He's given up four home runs this season. And opponents are hitting .278 off of him. Of course, the Brewers kept hitting the ball in the dirt against him. So maybe they make the adjustment this time as well. Cubs are still going to give you some good games. You cannot sleep on them. And what Seiya Suzuki's been doing with the Cubs has been really thrilling to watch as far as a new guy arriving to the league and what he's been doing. So they're tough, man. Ian Happ's still really good. And I really hope there is no bad blood continuing where they feel like they have to get back. The Brewers feel like they have to get back at the Cubs for hitting at Andrew McCutchen. I don't want to see that. I really don't want to see, you know, when we saw McCutchen get hit in the rear end in the second game of the season after Trevor Gott hit Ian Happ in the knee and Wilson Contreras was hit, you could tell that the Brewers pitchers did not have their control opening weekend. And for some reason, Wilson Contreras, his feelings are hurt every single time he gets hit by a pitch. And he thinks everybody's out to hit him. It's not the case. So I really hope the Brewers don't retaliate this weekend. And I also really hope that we don't see any semantics, any extracurriculars from the Cubs aggravating it this weekend. Because what this happens is, when a team is not as talented as you, they try to get into your head and they try to make things happen that aren't there. The Brewers are not trying to hit the Cubs. I promise you. They're not trying to hit Wilson Contreras. And let's just go ahead and look at this live. I didn't even prep this. Who leads baseball in hit by pitches so far this season? As far as looking at things, of course, the Mets have had a really rough go of it in getting hit by pitches. Michael Hermosillo's been hit by a pitch three times. Taking a look, four is the high in all of baseball. Wilson Contreras has been hit twice. It was both opening weekend. So he has backed off the plate a little bit. Sure hope he doesn't get hit this weekend so we don't complain and don't hear all the Cubs fans that drive up and boo. I'm over it, man. I'm just over it. Okay? All right. Hope y'all tune in this weekend. Obviously, no pod tomorrow. We'll be back on Monday. Recap the weekend. He'll have a mailbag on there, too. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube and wherever you get your podcast. And follow us on Twitter, at Locked On Brewers. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you so much for tuning in and making us your first listen of the day. We'll see you on Monday. Enjoy the Cubs-Brewers weekend. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.